You're now listening to Cultivating the Masses. My name is Jeremy.
Hello everyone, my name is Brian Latipa, Oni Abaringan, and welcome to Cultivating the Masses, a show where we invite some of the best known entrepreneurs, innovators, and industry leaders in Asia. I will be digging deep on how they got to where they are today in a simplistic manner so that you, our listeners, can gain the most value out of this conversation. So without any further delay, let us welcome our guest, the founder of Broody Oral Care, Jeremy Liu. Welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome.
Right. So Jeremy, just before we dive deep into the conversations about your business and how it has been going through this whole year, I just want to talk to you as a person because I've never met you. You've never met me. So let's get to know one another over here. So where are you originally from? Are you from KL? Were born and raised here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. How was growing up in KL? Are you like a super competitive person or are you like a super chill guy?
Well,
just bring us through the history of your life, if you might. Yeah.
Well, first up, I was born and raised in Malaysia. And in my lifetime, I've been to a couple of countries. And still, I think Malaysia is one of the best countries I've been. Yeah, and I would like to stay here for as long as I can.
Right. I heard that you're quite a traveler as well.
Yeah, I am. I am.
Where have you been before this whole, you know, traveling ban or whatever you might call it?
Well, I've been to countries like UK, Europe, Asia, places like Singapore, Thailand, right? And as well as China.
Yeah. Right.
One of my best trips in China.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is, in fact, where I started to have this idea of starting Broody Oral Care.
Mm, so that is where the motivation came from, if you might say that way.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why is that so, though, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, me and my co-founder, Sam, we were having a trip to China, Guangzhou.
Right.
So we were in this expo. That expo's run for 3 weeks, if I'm not wrong. We were in the second week. It was in the consumer products category. And we happened to walk around, you know, we thought, you know, why not just bring something new back to Malaysia? You know, we're going to put it on the e-commerce platforms such as Lazada, Shopee, etc. And then, you know, we'll see. And then we came across this product, which is the electronic toothbrush.
Right.
Yeah, and we kind of fancy it. We see a lot of products. We look at stuff like, you know, toilet brush.
Right. What?
Yeah.
Toilet brush?
They have like tons and tons of stuff there. You just couldn't imagine how many stuff they have in that expo alone.
Right.
So we look at stuff like toilet brush. We look at stuff like water bottle.
Right.
And then we look at stuff like, you know, those wee pad for your
wee?
Yeah, wee pads for your dogs, for your cats. And then we look at cups, fragrance.
Mm.
Yeah, we look at a lot of stuff.
This was back in what year? 2018?
This was 19? Back in 2019.
Oh, okay. So you were going around China just for a vacation, if you might say the way, and you just stumbled upon this expo, or was it planned all along?
It was planned all along, but we had a very open heart to go to the expo and we'll see what's new. Because we always see a lot of products coming into Malaysia, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So I suppose when we are able to see the products that it's being sold or being promoted to Malaysia, I probably think these companies have already been preparing all these things for at least six months to a year time.
Right.
So by the time when you want to follow what they do, it's going to be a bit too late.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So Sam and I, we traveled to Guangzhou and we thought, you know what, let's see what's new.
Mm.
We have a really open heart. We didn't really decide that we have to bring something back. We just wanted to go there and see what's new.
Mm.
You know, what's this Chinese doing, like how innovative they are, you know. And then we bring as much information as possible back to Malaysia and see, you know, what we can do about it.
Right. Mm. It must have been really different, huh? I'm just trying to visualize like the situation in that expo itself. Like just being there, seeing these people introducing all this new innovations, right? Because I'm probably not too aware about how the entrepreneur scene is in Malaysia. But what I notice is that it's really trendy kind of thing, you know, where if you're doing this, if it's a part of a trend, it's going to work, you know? So a lot of Malaysian so-called influencers, entrepreneurs, they want to try to start up their own business by, I would say, just hop in the bandwagon. But is it the same with China?
Well, China, they are very innovative. I would say those are really hardworking people and they're really smart as well. Because whenever they see something innovative that has been introduced to the people, to the world, They will act very quickly. They will buy their stuff. They will bring it back. They will tear it apart and then see how can they build it even better or smaller amount of cost and then offer it back to the people.
It's insane. Yeah, I mean, looking at those all those TikTok videos of people just making their own devices and all that, right? Yeah. It's rather interesting. Anyway, so I want us to bring this conversation back to the beginning. We know that you studied business information technologies in KDU Penang. Out of all the university offered here, why all the way in Penang?
I think that island was a pretty good island.
Right.
And I've always liked the beach. Mm. You know,
and the food too, man. Let's not forget about the food.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, dude. You know, I think for the first week I've been on Penang during my study time, I think I probably gained about 5 to 6 kg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's only for the first week.
So you were in the university for how long? Were you there?
Well, to be honest, I did not graduate from my college time. Mm. I dropped out. Yeah.
Any reasons why, though, if you don't mind me asking? Because there's a lot of reasons why people drop out of college, right? Mm. What was your reason? Was it because it was not your passion, or was it like a financial situation, or what was it for you?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you that I'm just lazy.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really the kind of, you know, book guy.
Right.
Yeah, I used to skip classes. I don't submit my assignments. I was more of a quite rebellious teenager during that time. Yeah.
Right, so for after you drop out, I'm going to assume the storyline here. After you drop out, you just decided, you know what? I just want to go out and see the world for now.
Yeah.
Was that the whole plan?
Yes.
And after that, like you said, you went to China and found out about this expo and you came back feeling like you want to give it back to the society. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing you're going to do, you're going to do that.
Well, if you don't mind me telling you the whole story. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
So after I dropped out from college, I came back to KL and I started the job as a sales advisor at Volkswagen. So right. I sell cars.
Mm.
I was a huge fan of the cars. I mean, if you get a knife and cut me, I think I'll probably bleed cars. That's how much I love cars.
Nice.
Yeah. So for a guy like me, you know, it's very normal to be ending up a place like, you know, the showrooms and car dealers, stuff like that. So I've worked as a sales advisor for the Volkswagen and BMWs for about 4 years. After that, I thought, you know what, why not start my own business? So I started my own detailing garage.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called Brit's Garage.
Right? Yeah, it's still running right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that garage is more like a detailing studio. You know, we customize cars. It's all about the passion, you know, I want to put it into a business, you know. And then it was in 2019.
Okay.
And I have this idea. I wanted to go into e-commerce business.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was in about 3 years later when I started my own business. I kind of have this feeling, you know, like I'm doing this detailing business, but I don't feel like I'm doing enough for the society.
Right.
You know, yes, I do see my customers smile when they collect their cars. There's just something that it's missing about this business. You know, it's not satisfying me. It's not about the money. It's not about. Yeah. It's not about the profit. It's about the satisfaction that I just don't feel like I'm giving enough to the people. And then things was going on and on. And, you know, I talked to my friends. They told me about, you know, Jeremy, you know, you're doing good. You're doing great. Yeah, you know, you don't have to worry about giving so much to the society. If you're really missing out on that one, you know, think about your staff. You have like 15 staff, 20 staff working for you. Every month, you're paying them salary.
Right.
And they're using that salary to feed that family.
Right.
I mean, that means something, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then that gives me a sparkle, you know, like I am doing something for the people, you know? I mean, I also realized that how much they value to my company and me as well.
Mm.
Yeah. I have this idea that I wanted to do a business. I want to start something that I really contribute to the people.
Right.
You know, not just doing for the sake of my hobby or my passion.
Mm.
Right, or some business that is following because of the trend, because, you know, detailing is definitely the trend.
Okay.
Right. So me and my co-founder, you know, we had a conversation one day, and then I told him about this expo in Guangzhou, and then he said, yeah, I've heard of this expo like many, many years ago, but I never get the chance to go there and really have a look. And I said, you know what, we are right here in your office, and the computer is right there. You know, why not just check out the flight ticket.
Right, right. Why the hell not? Uh-huh.
And in only 15 minutes, we have everything done. Right. We had the hotels booked. Mm. We have the flight tickets bought. And then just like that, we just go ahead. And
wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Right. So now that we're in that topic of you going to Guangzhou, China, right? Mm-hmm. And you came back with an idea, mm-hmm. right? So you came up with Broody.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a sonic toothbrush.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to talk about that now.
Okay.
Why did you choose the brand name to be Broody? For our listeners, some of you might not know that Broody is actually a business that provides sonic toothbrush on a subscription basis, right?
Yes.
So why did you came up with that, not the, I would say, traditional way of selling? You know what I mean? It's very subscription based, right? And run us through the thought process behind Broody in general. Yeah.
Okay, first up, Broody, the name was named after the idea of the brush buddy.
Okay.
Because a brush, wow, it's as close as like someone as your buddy, you know.
Mm.
So I was getting on a paper, you know, writing down the names, you know brush buddy, B-R-U-D-Y. So that one, it doesn't look so nice.
I got
it.
Yep. Right? Understood.
And I suddenly have this idea to put a double E behind the D's, you know, Broody.
Right.
Yeah, it looks good, you know? Yeah. And it sounds good too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's how the name Broody was born.
Right. So what about the business model?
Like I said?
Yeah.
Mm. I was an electronic toothbrush user a few years back.
Mm.
It was very expensive. I think I bought it for like 300 ringgit plus. Yeah.
And just for the device?
Just for the device. And it was battery charge.
Okay.
You got to operate with a battery.
Okay.
So I really liked it. Thing is, whenever I want to get a replacement, I only able to get it from the electrical stores.
Okay.
And they always don't have the type of brush that I want. So sometimes I end up buying on eBay. Sometimes I end up buying on online. And most of the time, I always get the fake ones, the pirated ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when I came across this electronic toothbrush business model and I thought of a subscription basis, that would really benefit to the users. They don't have to worry about getting their replacement at the stores, at the retails,
right,
you know, because you got to use your time. You know, if you go to the mall, you got to drive there, you got to pay for the parking, and then you got to risk walking up to the stores and they don't have the items that you want. So with the subscription model, it's going to eliminate all of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
And what I want to do better with Broody AuroCare, it's we want to give our customers a peace of mind of owning that device with our lifetime warranty program.
Yeah, there's one less problem to worry about.
Yes.
Yeah. I do have a question. You also mentioned that you were from the automotive, right?
Yes.
But why a toothbrush though? Like it could have been a gaming chair. It could have been a type of a tumbler or anything, you know? It could have been a mic. But why specifically a very niche product like a toothbrush?
Is it
because you said you yourself is an electronic user, so you're able to put yourself in that position? Or
that might play a pretty big part in that as well. When I told my friends and family that I want to go into the oral care industry, and then they say, what? You're not even graduate from your IT program. Are you a doctor or something? I said, no.
Yeah, that's what hell was a funny story.
And then they thought, you know what, Jeremy, I know you got time, but stop wasting time on stuff like that. Maybe you should just concentrate on your passion, you know, your detailing garage. But there's just something inside me that tells me that, you know what, this is going to be a game changer. Mm. This is going to be something new. And before I started this e-commerce business, I did like tons of research. And really, there's nobody in Malaysia is doing this.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a part of me in my mind that, you know, Jeremy, you got to do it. You got to do it. If you're going to fail, at least be the first.
Right.
You know, I mean, what's the bad part of that? I mean, there's no harm trying.
Definitely, yeah. The biggest harm you can ever do is not trying.
Yeah, and I don't want to regret about it because I have this idea in my mind. It pops into my mind all of a sudden and it just... Every part of my body and my soul is just telling me that you got to do it. You got to do it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I always tell myself and whenever I do something, if I'm ever going to fail, I'm going to fail fast.
Right.
So I'm going to get up on my feet faster. That's how I always tell myself that to do things in the right way.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, there's this a very well-known quote, if you might say it that way. You know, failure is just another brick to your bigger castle.
Yeah.
Know? So I think that's the message here, is that do not be afraid of failure or rejection, because it happens in life, you know?
It happens.
So, yeah, and the best way to go through it is to perhaps welcome it, like you said, you know, just let it come over. You know, if I fail now, I fail now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you decided to go for a toothbrush. Now we know.
Yeah. It was kind of random.
Right. It's kind of random.
It turns out it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, we get a lot of messages saying, if you want to run a business, make sure you're something you're passionate about. It doesn't necessarily have to be so. You know, it could be something that you have not associated yourself for the longest time and just decide, you know what? I see this thing providing a lot of value. I myself gain value out of it. I just want to make it better. You know, it could be something like that, like what you are experiencing. Like you said, you've worked in the automotive industry, right? Mm-hmm. The service industry. Like you said, you did sales earlier. Also about your current business in Brits, right? You said always making a customer smile is one thing. But I do want to know, were there times where the customers were really hard to please from your side?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Can you tell us some story about that?
Well, because there's a million types of people. You can't just have yourself, you know, serving the perfect 10 to 10 quality to every single one.
Yeah.
You know, but along the way, you sort of just learn how to deal with the more difficult people. You know, you try your best to convince them. You try your best to listen to them. Because in my perspective, I always thought that, you know, when customers, they complain about your products, your service, sometimes maybe they're just not satisfied with your product and service. Maybe just having a bad day.
Right.
You know, they just want someone to listen to their problems.
Exactly, yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they complain to their service provider, and then the service provider is just going to, no, this is your problem, you know,
because
terms and conditions apply, you know. But sometimes we just have to listen to them, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I work in customer service myself, and sometimes I've worked with a couple of people who are like robots, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I must follow the rules, you know, no emotions applied, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's right. Like, you're not going to get a lot of happy customers from time to time. And the key word here is do not take anything personally, I feel.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's great to hear that you as the CEO of Broody actually have that sort of courtesy, you might say, away, right?
Yeah, in Broody Oroka, we always listen to our customers. We have a live chat, we have emails, we always let our customers tell them feedback with their opinions, you know, and we are trying to improve from time to time.
Right.
Yeah. When we first launched our products, it was having a slightly more harder bristles. So we were getting a lot of feedbacks from the customers saying that this is a little bit too hard. And some say this is too hard. We need something softer. And then we did a lot of studies and found out Malaysians actually prefers softer bristles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, if you go to those grocery stores, you know, pharmacies, you see 80% of the toothbrush it's being sold on the rack, on the shelf, they are mostly soft and ultra soft.
Okay.
So with this information, with this data, we went back and talked to the manufacturer. And then, you know, we discussed, we had a lot of meetings and talked about the bristles. How should we improve on that, you know? Because the most crucial part is going to be touching your mouth, you know? So we thought we're going to go into ultra soft because that is what most Malaysian preferred in the market. But with the ultra soft bristles, it's not going to perform with the sonic toothbrush because it's too soft. It wouldn't vibrate enough to get the optimum cleaning.
Right, right.
Yeah. So we've done some testing, R&D, and we finally decided to go with the soft ones.
Right.
And then, yeah, things are getting so much better. Mm. And a lot of customers are writing reviews on our Facebook page, on our website. And then some, they even sent in some DMs on Instagram telling us how much they love it, posting on their IG stories how much they love it. Yeah, as a person who founded Broody Oroka, I do get more satisfaction that this time I've really created something that benefits to the people and, you know, making them feel like they have more smile. It really cleans and they're happy with their products,
right.
You know. That is a different level of satisfactions. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of which, about pleasing the customers, right? Out of all those places that you've been, Auto Bavaria, Volkswagen, Brits, and Beauty oral care, which one is the hardest to please?
Right, I would say they have their own difficult times, right. You know. When I was a sales advisor, there are difficult times that I have to please some customers. They want to get their cars fast. They want more discounts. They want more free gifts, you know. And then when you go to the Brits, you have difficult customers that they really pinpoint at every single detail.
Right.
Yeah, they say this is not shiny enough. This is not smooth enough. This is not nice enough. You know, they really go into details, you know.
Right.
And then in Broody Oral Care, you have people asking questions like, I want to get a free stuff. Can I try it out as a trial? And then you have people coming to us telling us that sometimes they bought the product and then they don't like it. So some customers, when they got the product and then they push the power button and they sort of like feel the device is not as good as what they compared with, you know, Philips Oral-B, you know, those product. And then they say immediately they want to do a refund and all that. Yeah, we'll go for the refund. But in terms of Broody Oral Care, let me think. Fussy customer, not really as fussy as the things I've gone through in Brits or as a sales advisor. It's a different kind of... Yeah.
Perhaps it's just starting off the journey.
It's still new.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, so when we were doing research about your brand and you, right, we stumbled upon your post that was posted by Vulcan Post, right?
Yeah.
And in that post particularly, there was a photo of you and your dad as well.
That's not my dad. That's my co-founder, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apologies on that. That we did not know. All right. So your co-founder age gap is quite...
Yeah. Actually, huge, yeah. When I partnered up with him, right, I didn't know his actual age. So there was one day, I think it was during the MCO period, Sam and I, his name is Sam, Sam and I was doing all this packaging at my house, you know. So I thought of like, you know, Sam, I ask him a question, like, Sam, actually, how old are you, you know? Because I've been thinking, as you can see, my whole team, most of us are in younger generations, right? Mm. And like you said, so he looks like my dad.
Yeah. Apologies for that. Sam, if you're hearing this, we're really sorry. Really thought you were his dad.
So I was curious that a man like that, probably 40 plus, you know, and he's interested to partner up with me and do something this new, you know, not many people like Kim would do that. So I just asked him, like, how old are you, Sam? And they said, I'm 54. I'm like, what? I thought you are 45, 47. And he said he's 54. I mean, that moment, I felt I'm so lucky. And I'm so blessed to have someone like him to, you know, partner up with me and helping me all along, building the company together. Not many people with that age would do that, because a lot of people with...
The age gap, man. Yeah.
Yeah, when they weigh above 50, they probably just going to chill, you know, I'm just going to enjoy life, you know. I'm probably half retired. Right. But he's not.
Right. How did you end up meeting Sam? Like, what was the... Did you meet him, like, way back before this business was a thing, or...
Yeah. Sam and I has been an acquaintance for a couple of years. Okay. Yeah. We met during my Brits business startup. Mm. So he was one of my clients, you know.
Oh,
yeah, he was one of my clients.
So when you started this business, you, of course, like any other business, you set a milestone, right? How much you want to make by the end of the year. I believe the numbers are you're trying to hit 5,000 users by the end of this year. And right now you're already halfway through as of now, right?
Yeah.
And what were some of the reasons that you achieved those numbers?
From now, as currently, we already hit our 5,000 users. In fact, we just celebrated this.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
A couple of weeks ago with the partners, with the founders. We are really happy about it. We are thinking to hit 10,000 users next year.
Wow.
We do have some strategies in terms of marketing. We plan to go digital. And hopefully when, you know, this pandemic is getting better and better recover, we hope to get more on-ground activities, you know, to promote, to do this awareness campaign, to tell the people, you know, how much sonic toothbrush can actually really benefits to your oral hygiene and all that.
I went through your Instagram as well. I think By the way, I really love the aesthetic of their Instagram, right? It's super minimal. And I myself, I really like all this minimalist design. And I think like, shit, this brand that they're going for is really nice, right? Would you say like the people that you engage with, because I saw a lot of, I would say, influencers as well on your Instagram. Would you say those actually helped as well?
Yeah, they play a really big part in terms of getting the awareness to the people. For example, the people is going to use the electronic toothbrush or the sonic toothbrush. Most probably, they are going to be the new generations. You know, people like in their 40s, in their 50s, you know, they are so used to their manual toothbrush.
Right.
When you ask them to change or convert, you know, it's going to be a bit difficult. They might, but the chance of converting, it's going to be very low.
Right.
Yeah. So our marketing strategies is to focus on the new generations, the younger people.
Which makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why when you go to our Instagram, you know, the way that we market our products, it's more like a trendy style, minimum design.
Right.
It's unlike the big boys that they play, like the Oral-B, the Philips. They're going to do like doctors giving you testimonials and all that. So we're going to go another way around, you know. When the big boys are doing this, you know what? Okay, I'll do another way around. I'm gonna see how it goes.
Right. Also, in one of the posts that we went through when we did the search, you seem to be quite optimistic when it comes to competitions as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't mind competitions?
No, absolutely not.
Why don't you run through that particular part of the topic so our listeners can actually get a paradigm shift, if you might say that way, right?
Well, when I first started Broody Oral Care, I was really the first one in Malaysia. And the biggest obstacles that we have, the biggest challenge that we face is building this awareness to the people. Why do they have to use sonic toothbrush? And if I'm the only one who's shouting out all this, the end result is not going to be very good. But when competition is coming in, I felt a lot of my partners, I said, Jeremy, you know, a lot of competition is coming in. So what you're going to do, are you going to go put your price any lower, do more discounts, you know, all that? I said, no. I said, we're going to keep on doing whatever that we are doing. You know, we're going to do the best. When people are coming into the competition, copying my style and all that, we should be happy about it because we have set a benchmark in that industry. More competition is coming in, more awareness is building. I think it would be more easier for this industry, not just Broody Oral Care, for any other company who you know, sell electronic toothbrush.
Right.
It's going to be much more easier for all of us to sell our products, you know, to the end users. And the ultimate result is more and more people are getting highly affordable oral care products.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, for you, it's a win as well.
For everyone, it's a win.
Wow. That's a good perspective that I feel like we need to highlight in this conversation as well. Because, you know, a lot of business owners, they're just trying to shut down each other, you know. You won't even have a business if there's no competition,
yeah.
I personally believe, you know. And competition doesn't necessarily mean it's a way to put yourself down, but rather a way to push yourself to become even better, right?
Yeah.
Not only in terms of business, I feel, even as an individual, right? If you lose, doesn't mean you suck. You just got to try harder.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah. Speaking of which, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, so if any entrepreneurs out there, no matter whether they're more successful than me or they are just started, right, I would, you know, give them a piece of advice is whenever they feel like they're having a difficult times, or whenever they feel like their business is crumbling down or close to, you know, shutting down, you know, always ask yourself, have you given up your best? You know, if you have not, you know, try harder. Try harder.
Right.
Yeah. This is always the things that I ask. In fact, if you don't mind me going back to my Brits Garage topic, just right after MCO, the CMCO, when the government reopens the market for us to run a business, my Brits Garage was close to shutting down. Yeah.
Okay.
And that moment, I thought that, shit, I mean, is this the end of my passion? Because that is
where that was your passion. Yeah,
that was where I started everything, including Broody. So is that the end of it? And I thought about it and I think, and then I stayed at home. I was really down. I was really sad. And at that point of the time, I think I didn't even have the courage to go to the office and face my staff.
Right.
Because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to tell them. You know?
Don't know what to say as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say. And then one day I was in my shower. You know, I was just randomly playing the YouTube video, you know, and suddenly just one motivation video, it autoplay. And it was Jack Ma motivation video. And then he talked about how difficult he was when during his younger age, you know, he was rejected by Harvard 10 times. And then he applied a job for KFC and he was the only one that got rejected.
Yeah. I think I saw that that particular video. Yeah.
And then when he was 35, close to 40, he was only making $12 a month. I mean, that's so much more less than what I make right now.
Right.
But look at him right now. And then I have this thought, Jack Ma is able to achieve what he has achieved today. I'm only 30, you know, I'm only in my early 30s.
Yeah. Yep.
If I'm going to tell myself and give up on that, I don't think I'll be eligible to play a big role in Broody Auto Care.
Right.
I won't even be fit to run this company. So that moment, I told myself that, you know, just gotta keep doing it.
Right.
And ask myself, have I done the best for the company? If I have not, you know, just try harder.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's where it really filters out the best out of the best, I think. Like, you know, a lot of people want to be an entrepreneur, but I don't think a lot of people wants to take the extra steps to become one. I will not lie, I am one of that person. You know, I want to be an entrepreneur, but when I go through a really hard struggle in my life, I'm like, you know what? I'll just put this aside first. You know, I'm one of those guys, and I will not lie. Speaking of which, since we're speaking about the growth of the company, right? How many people do you have in Broody Oral Care as of now? Your team?
We have about six members right now.
Do you think like those members also played an important role in terms of growing the brand? And another one I would like to ask is, what are the traits that you're looking for in your employees?
I value my employees very much, because when you ask me what role do they play, how much of a part do they play in the company, I say every single part of it, because without them, there wouldn't be today's Broody. There are six of us. There is me managing the marketing department, you know, managing all this. And then there's my co-founder, Sam. He's managing all this logistic, the deliveries, the stock keeping, the inventory. And then there is Sky. He's the backbone of this company because he set up the whole database for the e-commerce platform.
Right.
Cool. So without him, Broody would not
be what it is.
Yeah. And then there's Kevin. He has his own production team. So he creates all these videos, this animation, 3D animations. So without him, you know, we wouldn't be able to build the awareness and to promote Broody the way that we want it. And then there is our accountant. She is handling all these numbers. And then there is my graphic designers. So she's handling all this creative stuff.
Right.
You know, everyone plays a really important role in the company.
Mm.
So without any of them, I would say Broody would not succeed at all.
Right. Since there's very little, I would say that's considerably quite a little amount of people in your team.
Yeah.
To me, that sounds like a very intense, intense day-to-day basis kind of operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you guys cope with that?
As a human, we sort of just adapt to it. Like we adapt to the situation, to the tough times. So far, everyone is adapting to it.
Mm.
And some, they get to work from home. Some, they get to work in the office in my garage, you know. Yeah, I would say they're doing a pretty good job.
Right.
You know? I wouldn't say there's no pressure at all. Of course, there are pressures.
Right.
Because competition is coming in, you know, we got to be the most innovative ones. We got to, we always got to set the benchmark in this industry. So we always sit together and brainstorm, you know.
Right.
And we celebrate when there is achievement. I always celebrate.
Right. Nice, nice. All right. Since we're talking about that right now, I want us to, in a bit, we're going to take a 5 minutes break.
Okay.
And then we're going to jump into another segment where we talk about the lows of your businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll take a 5 minute break for a while.
Okay.
We're going to take this break to tell you about one of Renegade Radio's podcasts called Podcast Sessions Malaysia. It's a simple concept, a podcast about Malaysian podcasters and how they found the idea to start their podcast find the right people, and get their show on air. You can find more of Renegade Radio and all its podcasts on www.rngdr.com or at RRP Malaysia on all social media platforms. All right, so it's been like, I think, 30 minutes of conversations with you, right? And I found out that you were quite the chill guy. It looks like you're stress-free. It looks like you're, you know, you're pretty optimistic and positive. And I'm kind of liking that, you know?
Thank you.
Yep. But not everything is sunshine and rainbow, right? Mm-hmm. And this year has been a great example of that, where the COVID-19 strikes, you know, and we're really concerned about our whereabouts and the whole situation in the world. And a lot of businesses are affected by it. Right?
Yeah.
It's been a year, and we just want to know from your end how this pandemic has changed the way you run your things, or you've been always doing the same thing for the longest time. What was the biggest struggle or obstacle so far, you think, during the pandemic?
Well, the biggest obstacles that we have is building the awareness to the people. And during this pandemic, and the new obstacles that we are facing right now, it's the advertisement cost, because everybody's promoting their business on Facebook, you know, on the internet. And the cost of that, it's shooting up and up. So it's getting more expensive for us to promote the product and the company. That it's one of our biggest challenge right now.
Right.
In fact, I think this is the challenge that most of the e-commerce businesses are facing. In the very beginning that we face, the obstacles that we face is the awareness. And then the second of it is the product, you know, the end user result, the satisfaction of our customers. And then there is, we do have some logistic issues, you know, during the pandemic, the MCO, because everything is locked out. The freight is locked out. The arrival of our goods, it's delayed. And then we face a lot of shipment issues, because as you are aware that during the MCO period, both Laju or any other courier companies are facing a huge amount of transaction.
Right.
Yeah, they don't have enough time. They don't have enough manpower to deliver all the orders. That was one of the obstacles. We even have to deliver the goods by ourselves sometimes, because we have promised our customers that we have to be deliver the goods within 3 to 7 working days. So yeah, we try our best to deliver our promises to the customers.
Speaking of which, like you said about, I want to go through the first challenges that you said was the ads, right? Which is one of the biggest struggles that you went through. And how did you overcome that one?
That was solely my job. So I have to do a lot of study and how to optimize the ads, and have to really look at the data and how the consumer would react to different kinds of artwork. And then we have to really look at the conversion data, and then because you got to keep updating your website, because your website is like your store. If you don't make it look good, that means customers wouldn't even bother going into your store.
This looks dodgy.
Because I would say, yes, Malaysians are buying a lot of subs on the internet, but still there are a lot of people that are skeptical about this transaction. You know, they're still preferring to go to the mall and you know, buying stuff on the mall. So we have to do the extra work to make them feel comfortable, you know, browsing the website and all that. Yeah, to make it look legit. Yeah, we have to put as much data as possible. We have to make it very simple, very user-friendly, yeah, and all that.
So does your suppliers come from like overseas, or is it manufactured here in Malaysia?
We have suppliers from overseas and Malaysia.
Okay, right. So I do believe that also affects like the production of your products, right? And up to the point where you said you can't use the courier services because they were receiving a lot of transaction. And I want to understand, what was the conversation you had like with your team? Like, you know what, guys, this is unreliable. Let's do it ourselves. What was the conversation like, you know, to finally decide to, let's just go send it ourselves?
During that conversation, because we all just, we kind of like, it was in like a brainstorm session. Our ultimate goal was to solve, to look for a solution for all of our problems. So none of us are against with this idea, because there is no courier service at that moment was able to help us, because every single one of them, when we get in touch with them, they said, sorry, you're just going to have to wait, because we are facing a high volume. We have never faced this. They all of them said the same thing. Yeah. So we wanted our customers to really gain the confidence with our company. So we have to deliver it. So yeah, we all said everyone is going to play a role. If I'm free, I'm going to deliver it. If you're free, you can deliver it. Just do it. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like that's a conversation that we must have, because at times like that, it can get really, really overwhelming. And you're just like, you know what? Let's just wait. You know, and adaptation is a big role here. You know, it requires someone to be able to adapt to tough situations to see who is the best out of the best, I guess I would say, you know. Right. So in the success of this company, was there anything that you sacrificed?
Yeah, definitely that sacrifice. I mean, I run a few businesses. Definitely, I sacrifice my time with my friends. I don't get to hang out anymore. I spend most of my time at home, you know, doing all the research, you know, updating the ads, optimizing the ads, sending emails, getting in touch with the suppliers. Because with this pandemic, we kind of fly all over to China and have discussion with them. Right. So everything has to be done via Zoom, a video conference call. Yeah, we do have some difficult times, you know, communicating with them,
because
when we want something from them, communicating via, you know, the internet, it's just
there's a missing element.
Yeah,
there just seem to be a missing element.
Yeah,
and it tends to affect the, I would say, the trust as well in some so many ways. You know,
yes,
like it's tough because there's just that. I don't know what element is it, because you get to see them.
Yes.
You get to hear them.
You get to feel the atmosphere. You know?
But there's that sense of importance that is missing there, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting that despite the huge success, there's always gonna be a struggle that you go through regardless.
Yeah, always.
And it's always about adapting as well.
Yeah,
and you happen to have those skill sets, so for you.
Well, I once read a book, they say, you know, how rocket missile works. Do you know how it works? You know, rocket missile, when they launched it, they don't really have the exact target, you know.
Right.
You, when you see in a movie, they set the target, they lock the target, and they just go into the target. That's how it works, right? But actually, it's not. So what happens to a rocket missile when they fires it? They don't have any direction as well. They only have a rough target. So they correct themselves by each mistakes. So they go a little bit wide, they go out of alignment, they correct that, they go out another direction, they correct it. And corrections, it's what made them hitting the target.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, using a rocket missile as an analogy right now, this is so cool, man. Damn. All right. Now, let's talk about the comeback, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about, you've solved basically these problems. Do you think that, let's say, one day, miraculously, COVID-19 just disappear, right?
Okay.
Out of nowhere. Would you say that you would still run your business the way it is, or would you say you will go back to the way it was?
No, we wouldn't. Because if this pandemic suddenly just disappear, I'm sure there's a lot of things that we can do on ground, off ground, online. Of course, for the first few months, people's going to be crazy about traveling.
Right,
maybe definitely. They won't even bother buying anything online. Right? We're going to have to adapt to that. But if people are going out to the streets buying stuff, then we're going to do the on-ground events. Yeah. So it's, we just got to keep adapting to the economy, to the society. Yeah.
It's interesting, right? Like, I feel like COVID-19 just really pushes a lot of business owners to think like, you know what? Online business can really, really mean something here.
Yeah.
You know? Because previously, people were still skeptical about it.
Yes,
there were big brands like Shopee, Lazada, or whatever there is, right? But people are like still skeptical. I still want to go to a physical store and blah, blah, blah. And then this whole thing happened. They're like, you know what? This is actually not that bad. And a lot of business owners are like, I don't mind doing this even if COVID is not around.
This pandemic actually pushes a lot of people out of their comfort zone.
Definitely, yeah.
Really, really. And it's a good thing. I mean, some people, they hesitate. They're reluctant to adapt. You know, they might not be as good as they could be. But those people who really adapt to it, you know, they can really be the game changer. Yeah. Right. What I've learned running this Brody company, it really benefit a lot to my Brits Garage. Because when I started my Brits Garage, I had no idea about e-commerce. I have no idea how to run ads. I have no idea how to create ads, you know. And I would say, yes, Broody saved Brit's Garage.
Right.
In a huge way. You know? Yeah.
Let me take a step back here for a while. Are you running all those ads and IT stuff on your own?
I don't run the IT stuff. I only run the managing the ads. Marketing
right stuff. So you had to learn that from the ground up yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
Endless hours.
And that is not an easy thing, by the way.
Yeah. That is one of the sacrifices that I made, because when during the pandemic you have time, what do? You watch Netflix.
Right. You kill time.
You kill time with the games, you know. Yeah. What I did is I watched YouTube videos and learned how to, you know, run the ads.
Wow.
Yeah, I read books. I read, because I'm not good with books. I listen to audiobooks.
Right.
And then I watch YouTube videos whenever I can.
Mm.
When I'm working, I just play the YouTube video, the online classes, you know, on the background. Yeah.
Wow. Because, like, I mean, I came from a marketing background myself, right? And I know that running an ads, and it requires someone who knows a specific type of knowledge, right, to run an ad. And usually it'll cost a lot to run ads, to outsource it to someone to run an ad for you. But knowing that you took a mile, a step ahead, right, and you went like, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself.
Yeah, we did engage a few digital marketing agencies, but it seems like they're just not what I expected.
Right.
So you know what? Instead of that, why not I just start pointing the finger at myself?
I know what I want,
yeah,
so I'm going to do it.
Yes. Yeah,
yep. Right. So you mentioned about if COVID-19 disappeared, right? Let's come up with an imaginary scenario. If it disappeared and everyone is going to go crazy about traveling, would you, at the back of your mind, do you have any idea about a Broody travel kit?
Yes. In fact, we are already looking at it
now.
We are getting in touch with multiple suppliers. Mm. You know, we're getting samples that we want. So once we have decided, finalized the design that we want, and then we'll start producing it.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Not just a travel kit. We want to have our own toothpaste.
Right.
Because toothpaste is one of my thing that I always tell my team that I want to put it into it. Because when you have a subscription basis that replaces your brush head every 3 months, it solves 50% of your problems.
Right.
But you still got to go to the retail store and get the toothpaste.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
That's not fully solved, you know. So when you have toothpaste and your replacement brush head together, that totally solves your problem.
Right.
You won't have to get anything else.
Right.
Unless there's an additional thing that which is called dental floss. But we've done our research and not many Malaysians are using it yet.
Right. Guilty. Guilty.
So that might come into place later. Yeah. But travel case, yes, a lot of our customers are asking for it. Yeah, we are looking into that. We are actually getting in touch with multiple suppliers and we want to get the right design for the customers.
Right. That is what we want to hear for, you know, that is what I think our listeners should hear. The most important part is adaptation, innovation, still, you know, innovate, always innovate, you know. Right. So what is your favorite thing about running a service like this? Like, what keeps your passion going to go for like innovating constantly, you know, even though your product, I would say it's already as good as it is, but what keeps you wanting to give more?
Testimonials from my customers. I read the reviews every day. I read the testimonials on our Facebook page. I manage my social media platforms, you know, the Broody Advocate IG, Facebook. Almost every day, I'm getting good feedbacks from the customers.
That's good.
Yeah, that really, really give me a lot of satisfaction of, you know, keep me going, keep me, you know, thinking of new ideas and how to be better for them. You know,
right.
We have just updated our toothbrush with the USB Type-C.
Oh, nice.
instead of the micro USB port. So, because we are seeing a lot of the people are starting to use your USB Type-C.
Right.
So we wanted to do the upgrade for our customers. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of which, like you, when you went through those testimonials, I believe you're going through the bad or good testimonials. Was there anyone asking for like more color options for your...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a little bit teaser, but it's just the right time. We are going to launch our red color, the matte red color in 2021.
All right. Yeah. There we go. Would there be a kid's options too? Like maybe some rainbows on the toothbrush?
Well, because if it's an oral care product. We try not to go too fancy about
right.
it. We try to keep it simple, but sophisticated.
All right. Let's talk about the future of what you envision to be for Broody, right? Walk us through some of your plans for overseas expansions and your series to be funding, right? What can we expect from Broody Oral Care in the near future?
We are looking into going into the ASEAN market.
Okay.
We already launched our market in Singapore.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
So we are targeting next into Taiwan, then Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want to bring this affordable business model, this concept, to more places of ASEAN.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so let's say I want to Broody toothbrush myself. Our listeners want.
Mm-hmm.
What would you personally recommend to us to get, and how can we get it?
There's two types of electronic toothbrush. Mm. One is the rotating ones,
right.
and one is the sonic one.
Mm.
Okay. So the rotating one is patented by Oral-B.
Okay.
Okay. And I think they are starting to let go that technology because that technology has been there for like almost a decade.
Right.
Yeah. So right now, all of the technologies is coming over, converting into sonic technology, which gives you a higher frequency of vibration, which ultimately gives you better cleaning results. So then you got to look at the bristles that you want. Do you want it to soft or hard?
All right.
Okay. Try not to go for ultra soft because, yeah, it's going to feel very good in your mouth. But trust me, it's just not going to clean at all.
All right. Noted.
So if you're the kind of who brush your teeth very hard, yeah, you put a lot of pressure, go with the soft one. But you're the kind of person who just rests your toothbrush on your teeth and just glide along, you can opt for the medium ones.
All right.
Because those medium ones, they are definitely going to clean a lot better.
Right.
But it's just that you having the risk of damaging your gum when you put too much pressure on it. So the soft bristles give you the best of both worlds.
Okay. All right. Noted. Thank you for your recommendation. And all in all, just before that, I want to ask you on a personal level, put aside, let's say, Brits, put aside Broody, right? Okay. What's next for you?
What's next for me?
What's next?
Well, that's a lot going on in my mind.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, this pandemic just gave another reason to think about, you know?
Right. I have this idea because I said it in the beginning. I was a huge fan of the cars, you know?
Mm.
I love cars so much. And I'm not sure if you guys heard of the Top Gear, the Grand Tour,
right?
Jeremy Clarkson,
them.
I love that. You know, I wanted to replicate what they are doing and make it happen in Malaysia.
Okay.
So I did talk to my my producer, which is Kevin. He has his own production team, you know, the videographic things. And turns out he's one of the fan of Top Gear's Jeremy Clarkson and the three of them, you know. And I said, I wanted to make a channel, you know, the channel is called The Journey. I wanted to make that YouTube video and we're just going to shoot like, you're going to buy, I'm going to give you a budget of 5,000 ringgit. You're going to get a Kanchil or Kalisa or any cars, you know, we're going to set our journey from KL all the way to Malacca, but we're going to go through it, not the highway. We're going to go through the country roads.
Right.
Right.
It's really long, yeah.
So we're going to have different challenges. We're going to go through different places, you know, visit different people, you know. We're going to bring this culture to the Malaysian people as well as the people outside of Malaysia.
Yeah, interesting.
You know? Because I think a lot of Malaysians, they think they just want to go outside, but they have forgotten how beautiful is Malaysia.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
You know, this program is not just going to be able to, you know, bring those car enthusiasts to watch it. It helps Malaysian people to blossom, to tell people outside of everywhere and how beautiful is this country.
Right.
Yeah. The food, the place, the house.
Yeah. Specifically the food, bro.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, I've grown up in Malaysia for the entire time, right? I have not had the opportunity to go outside of Malaysia just yet. But I mean, from what I'm getting from, you know, all this Korean foods or whatever that was served in Malaysia.
Yeah.
I feel I still resonate to Malaysian food, you know. Anyway, I wish you all the best for that upcoming project.
Thank
right?
you.
Before we wrap things up, would there be any plugins from you, your social media for your brand or yourself or anything really? All right. It's okay if you don't have any. We're okay with that, right?
Okay.
So just before we end this show, I would like to know if you have any last comments that you want to make for our listeners. Maybe they're going through a rough time for their businesses. Maybe they are in a dead-end road going through this pandemic. Would there be any advice that you have for them?
Yeah, well, one piece of the advice from me that my mom's always tells me that, you know, in a Chinese way, when you want to go to the wall, make sure you have good equipments, good armories, good weapons, you know, then you can go to the war. I mean, it's like when you want to start a business, make sure you have enough funds and all that, good connections. But my way of doing things is if I want to go to the wall, I don't have to have good armories or weapons. I could just go to the wall with my bare hands. I beat somebody up, take his knife, I use the knife, and kill somebody, take his sword, you know, take his armory, and then step by step, you know. You don't have to have all the things you need to go to war or start a business. You just gotta try.
Yeah. It's what's in it, you know, inside of you. Yep. Do you have anyone to invite next?
Anyone.
Do you have anyone in mind that you would want to invite?
Would you want to speak with my good friend? He's the founder of 50 Gram. Have you heard of it? The florist. Have you heard of it? Yeah, he's a very good friend of mine. His name is Spring. I could talk to him about it.
All right. We'll be sure to keep in touch on that one. So I think that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think I really enjoyed this conversation because you're such a genuine and really positive and, you know, cheerful, very relaxed, stress-free guy. And I kind of need that, you know.
Thank you.
Right, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Before we end the show today, I would like to personally thank Jeremy Liu for joining us today in the studio. It was such a nice conversation with you, and I appreciate every single topic we talk about. And also, I would like to take this moment to express my gratitude towards all of our listeners that are tuning in. None of this would be what it is today without the support each and every one of you have given. I hope you gained tons of value from this episode, and if you do, don't forget to share it with your friends and family members so they too can gain something out of it. That is it for today. Tiada terbit apa lagi. Stay safe, take care, and we'll see you on the next one.